Well, hello and welcome to the Smells Like Money podcast. Join me, Suzanne Chin Taylor, the doo-doo diva, as I interview guests who are making an impact on how we manage and operate systems for conveying and treating wastewater. As a veteran of the wastewater, trenchless, and civil infrastructure industry, each week I'll be bringing you industry know-how from industry pros who know how. Join me each week as I speak with representatives of organizations that are utilizing disruptive or new technologies and methods, and executives who are excited to share how to be successful and sustainable in our vital industry. So whether you want to learn about the latest trends in technology, in treatment or trenchless, gain tips on training and retaining great talent, or simply how to be more efficient, productive, or profitable, this podcast is for you. Ready? Let's dive right in. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Doo-Doo Diva Smells Like Money podcast. Today, we are visiting with David Powers of Router Hero, and we're going to do something a little bit different today in that David has got his company has a very, very unique approach to business for our industry. And one thing that kind of caught my eye when we were first, you know, talking about him being a guest on the show was that I was under the impression that Router Hero was a franchise, but come to find out it's not a franchise. It's a completely different business model. And I'm going to let David explain that and how it works. And the reason why I thought this was so interesting to talk about is that there's a lot of folks out there that are, you know, maybe have gotten their master plumber, or they're almost ready to be a journeyman, or maybe even they're not, or they're just looking for something completely different to do as a career. And they think about the franchising option, or they think about doing something and branching out on their own. Little birdie, you know, leaves the nest. And you've created a unique model for people to take a look at, maybe to join you, or maybe to look at other businesses that are going in this direction. And that is the role of, it's almost like a hybrid franchise where it's using the model of intrapreneurship versus entrepreneurship. It is giving someone an opportunity who would like to be their own boss or have some autonomy, but yet maybe does not want all of the stress or the risk, because there is risk, of being a true entrepreneur. And the two are very, very closely aligned, except with some of the financial risks that the entrepreneur takes above and beyond what an intrapreneur does. And so I want you to explain to our audience a little bit about how you came up with this model and why it's been working so incredibly well for you, because you've had incredible growth since inception because of this. So with that, tell us your story.
Yeah, no, definitely. All right. So the whole model that we have, at least for our branch managers, our and everybody else, honestly, in the company, is that entrepreneurial mindset where we were looking for people who were self-starters, who came batteries included, right? And would take ownership of whatever it is that's within their control, right? We've been doing that for years. Router Hero opened its first branch in 2011 in our Orange County office, right? I came on board in 2012, and it was a completely different culture than I've ever seen before. Like, everybody was revved up, ready to go. It was honestly one of the most refreshing career transitions that I've ever had, and I've had quite a few. So, and it was great to be a part of it, and it's great to be in the leadership role that I am and help foster that, right? Between like all the people that are coming in, whether they're managers, plumbers, HVAC technicians, doesn't matter. Those are the kind of people that we want. Those are the kind of people that we hire, right? And because we found that it's night and day. If you can get someone who takes ownership, that's the first step, right? Because as we all know, not that many people take a lot of ownership in their personal life, let alone their business life, right? So as soon as you find those people and they come in, batteries included, so they come in with their own resources, with their own energy, with their own drive, the sky's the limit when you have those people. And all we have to do is foster that and keep keep some guardrails up so people don't go completely off the rails. But which that's one of the drawbacks, one of the only drawbacks of hiring like high energy entrepreneurial people is sometimes you need to reel them back in a bit because otherwise they'll go too far. And it's just like, I love to see it. I love the hustle. I love the ambition. But calm down a little bit. So,
Right.
but no, it's a fantastic model that we have, and it goes through all aspects and all levels of our culture here. So,
Well, explain to me what would be the difference between something like this, where you've got a branch manager, like what you supply, versus, the franchise model that, you own it. So what are some of those advantages of maybe looking at, because somebody's like, oh, but I'm still an employee.
right.
Yes. However, let's remove the negative of that. Maybe being an employee with autonomy isn't such a bad thing.
I don't think it is. I think it's the best way to get your feet wet in business is to have the autonomy, the freedom to make a few mistakes, right? Without it, bankrupting you or causing you to start from square one again, right? So that's the best way. And all of our services are centralized, like the contact center. They take calls for each one of our branch locations from a centralized location, right? Same with the majority of marketing, although we do encourage the local branch officers or branch managers. Officer man managers to do their own internal marketing as well. Like the traditional old school, put like door hangers and stuff like that. But everything else from digital to the traditional marketing is all done in-house here with here at the corporate building. So that stuff is taken care of. For a lot of franchisees, yeah, they get some help. Right with that, but not enough to make a real difference. I mean, I've been part of franchises, and it was just like, all right, cool, we can use your name. Thanks. And that was about it, right? So, which, name recognition does go a long way, but it doesn't solve nearly as many problems as can come up with being a franchisee, right? So, but yeah, it's a great thing if you have the right mindset, right? And being an employee with autonomy, that's something that not a lot of people have access to. Either you're an entrepreneur and you have full autonomy, or you're an employee and you pretty much check off boxes and do what you're told, right? So,
So
and it's uh
how do you make that work where there's got to be some checks and balances? Because at the end of the
Oh,
day,
yeah.
you're the one that's writing the check. I mean, how do you work with people that you can safely that would I know that would be a big question of some people listening in the audience. How do you safely maintain order?
Right. So, one part of maintaining order is in the hiring process itself, right? We get people who are very, very, very high in autonomy, but who are also aligned with the values of the company, right? That's one way of doing it. That's the ground level. And then, we give a list of don'ts, right? Don't do this, don't raise don't cause complaints, things like that. If you do cause a complaint, get it fixed. Fix the experience in the experience while the job is still going on, right? Things like that. And we have a resolutions department here that helps with any high level complaints, right? So that's taken care of for them. But as long as they're doing their job and they're doing it ethically, and they're meeting their KPIs or exceeding them, we're pretty much hands off. We're fully transparent, right? So every month we sit down, we go over all the P&Ls, all the numbers for the entire company, go through them. And then the week after, we share those same numbers with the entire company. So, and an all staff meeting that takes about an hour, and we go through everything. So everybody in the company, from the most entry level position to the highest, all are on the same page with how the company's doing. And that right there creates accountability by default, right? Because nobody wants to, nobody wants to be the person that lost, like, money that month and broadcast in front of literally everybody. So it's
But I
fun.
imagine that also opens up the doors for if somebody is struggling and somebody is, consistently performing month after month, that there's that camaraderie of, hey, we're not competing against each other. Like, I'm in Ventura and you're in San Diego. What is it you're doing? Can you help me? Give me your secret sauce where they, could
100%.
share information and help the other person. Like, well, I don't know if it's going to work for you, but here's what's worked for me. So that was a perfect segue, what you're saying about the experience of the experience. Because before we came on, we were talking about a lot of people today. We talk about the quote unquote UIX, on the web, user experience, or for medical, it's the patient experience or the customer experience. Mentioned something that you can't have any of those great user or customer or patient or whatever it is experience, the end person that's basically writing your paycheck, they are not going to have a great experience unless you first and foremost deliver a great employee experience. And
Exactly.
so I would like you to expound upon that and how you've made that work for you. What in your mind creates or makes a great employee experience that then trickles down and flows out into the marketplace to your customer.
Right. So before I answer that question, I'm just going to there's an equation, and it's more of a philosophy than an equation, honestly. And it's EX equals CX squared, right? So the
Okay.
employee experience equals the customer experience, doubly so, right? So and I use that in my customer experience stuff that I do on the side and everything else. In fact, I got a poster at home with it in the back. It's just something that I firmly believe in, right? And the employee experience is more important than anything else because it's what drives everything else. You're not going to have good results if your people aren't happy, right? If your people don't want to come to work, they're not going to do their best work. And that's tried and tested and proven again and again and again. You just look at the what it costs businesses in America, like if they have disengaged employees, it's in the billions of dollars. The people that are actively disengaged, which is sad. So, because that's a lot of money, and it's so easy just to turn a blind eye to that. Well, they show up to work. Yeah, they're 10 minutes late every day and they're not doing anything, but yeah, they're here. That kind of thing. So how you fix or how you make it a place where the employees want to come in and they don't dread the commute or whatever their commute happens to be, right? It could be getting in their car and driving to the office, or it could be waking up, doing their morning routine, logging onto a computer and start taking calls, right? How you create a place that they don't dread coming in is you have to create a place where everyone is welcome, right? That they know that what's going on in the company, they're not blindsided by things halfway through the day, right? And You make it so that it's just inclusion. Right now, at least for our corporate office, our contact center, and a few of the branch offices as well, we're all on the same Discord server, right? Discord, for those of you who don't know, is like a younger version of Slack. So, which means that for your younger employees, you don't need to train them on it at all. In fact, they can help train you on it. It's fine. So, but we, it was the perfect thing that brought teams together, because we have like, team exclusive channels where it's like you're part of this sub department, so you're in this channel. But we also open it up so that there's everybody in, like a bunch like appreciation channels, and like
Oh, wow.
we have a tough love channel where it's just like quotes from usually censored when I remember to censor them, like from Andy Frisella and other podcasters who put out those quotes, and then just a regular like water cooler channel where everybody can just get together, talk shop. And what we found was that at night after hours, the contact center would have a big issue trying to track down technicians and like, get them on the phone for those after hour emergencies. But as soon as we brought them onto the Discord server and everybody got to know each other, at least like, virtually, that stopped. Now the
Why
technicians
do you
are
think that is? Oh,
they got to know each other.
okay.
So they got to know each other. They got to know how each one of them operates. They got to joke around a bit, right? And when they built up that camaraderie, right? That team, hey, we're all on the same team here. We all have the same goals. We're all in the same place. That's when things changed. It did a 180 for that one particular branch office who got on first. 180. They were never hard to get in touch with again, except for during the Super Bowl, but that's understandable. So, but it was like, and then just the conversations that people have on there, it's, I've never seen that in another place. And even though I'm the one that like created it, it took me by surprise of how well everything like came together. And people started talking, people started joking around, they started talking about their personal lives, things like that. And like sometimes I have to go in and be like, that's enough, guys. But for the most part, it's they keep it professional, they keep it good, but also it's just a friendly gathering place. So, and it's completely like these people are all over the state. So
So your service area goes from where to where in California?
Right now, from San Diego all the way up north of Sacramento.
Wow.
And then
Okay.
we also have a branch office in Phoenix, Arizona as well.
Wow. And you're I sense that with this model, you're just going to continue to grow, but
That's the
do it
plan.
very, but do it very, very carefully and very methodically. But you've got a great, great model. And so that last thing you said will lead me into, for those of you listening, we are going to continue our conversation with David on a follow-up episode about an interesting little thing that they started to increase employee engagement. And so I'm not going to give a little spoil alert. And so, David, thank you for, sharing your very unique business model and, food for thought for those who are either looking to maybe do something like this. They're an entrepreneur themselves and they want to grow, because I see this as a potential model for someone who already has one or maybe two offices and has been thinking, okay, I want to scale my business. What's the best way to scale my business? That this is a great model. And also for those who are thinking, I'd like to branch out on my own, but boy, I don't know if I want to be that person that's responsible for making that payroll, every week. Or I'm a great technician, I can sell, but I don't know how to market. So I think you're on to something here. And so very much worth, taking a look at. And I want to thank you. And I'm looking forward to continuing the dialogue about the employee engagement tool. For those who are interested in learning more about, Rooter Hero and maybe you, David, how can they get a hold of you or connect with you on social media to learn more?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So they can check us out anytime at rooterhero.com. I am very active on LinkedIn. So, and all you have to do is, search my name, David J. Powers. And that's where I'm most active. I'm doing a lot of stuff that pertains to Rooter Hero. Plus, sometimes I have random thoughts and stuff like that that I want to put out there. It is what it is. But LinkedIn, our website, or they can email me directly at david.powers@rooterhero.com.
Great. Well, again, thank you for being such a great guest and sharing all of your great ideas. And I wish you the best of success in your growth. And the fact that you're in Phoenix, maybe I'm going to see you up here in my neck of the woods in Northern Arizona sometime soon.
That's the plan.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Hope you got a lot out of it and enjoyed our two visits here with David from Rooter Hero. And until next time, keep it flowing.
Thanks so much for joining me, the Doo-Doo Diva, on this week's episode of Smells Like Money. What stood out to you this week? Share your takeaways by leaving me a review. You can find out more about the new technologies, creating sustainable solutions and insights on how to succeed in our vital industry by subscribing to the show. Whether you want to learn about the latest trends in wastewater infrastructure, treatment, or trenchless, you've got it all right here at Smells Like Money. If you're an industry expert and would like to be considered as a guest for the show, book a quick chat with me by visiting calendly.com/thetuitgroup/B-A-podcast-guest, or simply click the link in the show notes below. Until next week, a big shout out to all my industry friends and those who will be. You are my superheroes. Thanks for tuning in, keeping it flowing, and we'll see you all next week.